The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, hello, coming to your cordless. It's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 on the West Coast, 2 minutes after 2 p.m. in the afternoon at the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia, where people actually do watch this. I don't know if they're at the Opera House, but they do in Sydney. And 10:02 p.m. here, right smack dab in Ilhan Omar's Congressional District here in Minneapolis. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. I forgot to check the episode count today. I think this is 48, I think. I swear to God, I'll check tomorrow. So we're starting this, it's the start of our, last night we started our 11th week, I think, here. Broadcasting on Rumble, YouTube, and seven other places. Eight total. How you doing? I'm doing well. Thought you'd want to know. All right, I got a big announcement. Tomorrow night on this program, we're doing a debate night spectacular again. We've done it for the previous two Republican primary debates. Got a panel going. Panel is current presidential candidate himself, Tim Conaway, Don Zorro, who works for an intelligence agency that we cannot talk about. And I think he goes around killing people. I'm not really sure. But anyway, he does something like that. So, and he will be in masks. So last time, or the previous two times, he muted his camera. But he was on the Halloween show, and he can't divulge his identity. So I suggested he wear the mask again. I think he's going to do that. So, because the mask, he looks handsome in it. He's got the little porn mustache, and he's got it going on. And Jeff Meyer, the CEO and publisher of Kong News, those three guys will be joining me right after the debate. Now, here's the deal. This debate starts an hour earlier than the previous two, which started at 8 p.m. Eastern. This one starts at, no, started, those two started at 9 p.m. Eastern. This one starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. God, I'm constantly juggling time zones around here because we've got guests and all sorts of shit. I barely remember. So the debate tomorrow night starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, an hour earlier than the previous two. This one will be done an hour earlier. We're starting our show as soon as the debate is done, as soon as basically they applaud and the moderators thank the panel, the candidates, and we go live. So we will be live tomorrow at 9 p.m. Central. Oh, shit. All right, am I going to get this right? Yeah, at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, right? Got that? Do I get that correct? We're going to go live at 10 p.m. Eastern, an hour earlier than we usually go. That's what we're got going on, all right? Okay, you got that? Okay, that's tomorrow night. Thursday night, no show. I got to go out of town for a funeral. People die. What can I say? Especially my age, you know? So, I mean, I mentioned this last night. I'm sorry about this, but I think in the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've missed at least one show a week, I think, if I'm right. Or at least 5 out of the last 6 or something like that. Yeah, we're going to miss another one. I'm going to miss another Thursday. So I'm going out of town. Yeah, a guy I grew up next door to passed away. So, yeah, shit happens. People die. Life goes on. Someday I'm going to pass too. You guys won't miss me at all. And what do we got today? Tonight we got Jazz Shaw, my brother from another mother, Jazz Shaw, weekend editor of HotAir.com. You know, both him and Strom both work at Hot Air. I can't recommend this publication enough. It's a Salem Media property, So, you know, Salem got the news channel. They got the TV stuff going on. They got all sorts of shit going on there. And they also own a shitload of conservative radio stations, too. They got that going on. But the hot air media websites, which basically all fall under the umbrella, I think, of town hall media. I think they're all kind of underneath that. Well, I can't recommend Hot Air enough. It's not just Shaw and Strom. They've got a whole bunch of really good writers over there. John Townsend, Karen Townsend, just a bunch of people that I write for. And occasionally Dennis Prager. I think even Newt Gingrich has written a column for them or something like that. I'm pulling that out of my butt. I'm not really sure. You know, there's some people who listen to the show who think I pull a lot of stuff out of my butt. Not as much as you might think. I was talking about that last night. My liberal friends are constantly bugging me about, like, where do you get your sources? Like, you know, has it ever occurred to you that you're misinformed? No. No, here's the deal. You're misinformed. I only read, like, 200 news articles a day and I'm from all over the place. I mean, shit, you know? I draw conclusions. That's what I do because I'm a commentator. I'm not a journalist. I'm commentating here. So you got that? So yeah, Jazz is on tonight. We're gonna talk about a whole bunch of shit. We're gonna talk about the Israeli war. We're gonna talk about the Trump trial. Or we already did it. We already recorded this afternoon. And he has some really interesting ideas you want to hear about AI. He's really ensconced in this. So. We talked about something that has not come up very often. If you ever use ChatGPT, and I was going to check before we got on the air, and I forgot to do it. You can buy a subscription now, which gives you like instant access. You basically get priority access to the AI app. And I don't know how much it costs, but I know Jazz has one. But he was talking about, and I was commiserating with him because I heard this, that these AI programs, the ones that are running on the web, take up just a monstrous amount of computing power. And the thing is, this is not the faint of heart because you already got Google and Facebook and Twitter chewing up the frickin' cyberspace with their, I mean, do you know how big Facebook, these data centers they build? And I don't know how many they have. What do they have, 100 across the globe or something like that? I mean, I think they have 20 or 25 in the United States alone. These are huge, huge centers where stuffed with server farms. And the thing is, then they build them, and Jazz alludes to this. They build them usually next to rivers because they need the water to cool the buildings because these damn servers run so damn hot. And so you think that's bad? This AI stuff puts that to shame. I mean, the thing that I've heard, I mean, I don't really know how big it is, but Jazz confirmed this in the interview, that the ChatGPT server farm is absolutely positively colossal. And it has to be, because it literally rifles through trillions of bytes of data in like 1 or 2 seconds. Excuse me. Pardon me. And we talk about that a little bit because the thing is, it's like, you know, is there some end limit to this? You wonder. I'm sorry. That's why I keep a bottle of water here. So. Anyway, so we talk about that. And then, of course, we talk about the UFO thing because that's one of Jazz's beats and he knows a lot about it. And we talk about what's going on with the Pentagon. Sean Kirkpatrick, who runs the Aero office, which is the current alliteration of the UFO department for the Pentagon, is apparently on its way out. What I posited to Sean Jazz is that this guy's been within a rock and a hard place. I don't know if he could do his job right, no matter what, just because of the demands on him. And not only that, and we did not bring this up in the interview, and this is worth mentioning. I was going to mention it during the interview. I think there's a good possibility that he's being paid to lie. There's that too. So, you know, he can't cut a straight deal for himself no matter what. You know, he either lies for his employers, his superiors, and then he's letting everybody down, or he doesn't lie and then gets fired or something. I don't know. So yeah, so that's what's going on tonight. So we're gonna do that in a few minutes. I got a couple notes here I want to bring up for today. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering, tomorrow night on the debate, here's the five candidates that made the third round: Christie, DeSantis, Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Tim Scott. And I'm not the only person who wondered this. How the hell did Christie get in there? It's like, who's a great fan of this guy? But, you know, I've said this since the beginning. I'm still, yeah, you know, I'm propagating conspiracy theories. I don't get care. I'm throwing this out to make you think. I think somebody from the other side is paying Christie to run for president because his only purpose seems to be bashing Trump. That's all he does. He doesn't put out any policy positions. He doesn't really take a position on anything. He's only there to bash Trump. That's it. And I think that somebody on the other side just said, here's a bunch of money. Run and bash Trump. Because if I'm right, according to the campaign finance laws, I think the actual campaigner, the candidate, can keep whatever's in his campaign war chest at the end of the cycle, I think, regardless of what happens. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's true. So it's like, here's $500,000, run for president, you know? Yeah, and you're going to make a fool of yourself, but you'll get the job done for us, you know? I don't know, how can the guy, he has no campaign, he has no positions, all he has is that Trump's bad, orange man bad, that's it, that's all he's got. And so it's widely considered that Trump's not going to be there. Trump is like 42% ahead of DeSantis, who's in second place. I mean, it's there's a lot of people, and Jeff Meyer went on and on about this for about 3 weeks. They should cancel this debate. It's like everyone knows at this point who the nominee is going to be. It is going to be really interesting. This is the one thing that came out, and this is on my show notes, and Jazz and I talk about this later. You know, I mentioned this last night that the New York Times came out with a poll this last weekend that was disastrous for Biden. And you have to understand, I mean, their poll is probably a little biased even toward Democrats, and it was still disastrous for Biden. But you do wonder, it was brought up in the poll that if Trump, the people who said they were going to vote for Trump, 6% of them said that they would change their vote if Trump was convicted of any of these crimes or civil suits or whatever. I mean, this thing that's going on in New York State is a joke. This is a legal joke. I'm assuming at some point in this process, first of all, I'm assuming that they're going to find him guilty because, I mean, it's a kangaroo trial right now. I mean, that's the way it looks. So, and Trump is taking the stand and basically swearing at everybody, and they deserve to be sweared at. The judge just said, you know, you can't insult the people of the court. Well, actually, you can. There's no law against that, you know. Just because the judge says you can't doesn't mean you can't. But the thing is, at some point, whether it's the next appellate court or even the Supreme Court, I'm assuming this is going to get completely thrown out. As Jazz and I talked about, this is the first thing in the interview, it's a victimless crime. Nobody got screwed here. Nobody. Even the state. They got their tax money. It's like nobody. So it's like like I brought up in the interview, technically, New York State is the only state where filling out the forms to the bank incorrectly, that alone is considered an illegal act if you don't do it right. That's their claim. Oh, yeah, right. All right. The banks got their money. The state got their taxes. Trump made some money. Like, who's the victim? Who is the victim here? Well, apparently, you know, what's her name? You know, she ran the attorney general of the state of New York, Fannie Wallace or whatever her name is. She ran against, she said, I mean, we have her on tape dozens of times saying that she wanted to be elected to take Trump down. And only that, she's showing up at trial, which normally the AG hardly ever does that. And some people say, well, she wants her 2 minutes in front of the camera. Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Right. Yeah, this is complete bullshit. I mean, there's no way around this. Just totally. But I brought that up because, like I said, 6% of the people in the polls said that if Trump was convicted, they'd change their vote, and or they would not vote for him. And that would be enough, actually, to put Biden over the top, probably, you know? I mean, we have, and there's another thing I want to mention here, too. This is, you know, this, I can't remember who, I was watching Fox News, somebody brought this up. It's a really important point. So, you know, I can go on about how the 2020 election was cheated, or more accurately, that's my opinion. But, I mean, we know for a fact it was rigged in the sense that a whole bunch of election laws were changed ostensibly to accommodate COVID, and most if not all those changes benefited the Democrats. Like, for example, you got your early voting now. That was already in place for a while, but it got extended. Now, in most states, you can vote like 30, 40 days out. You got your ballots by mail. You got your ballot harvesting. Somebody can come to your house and pick up your ballot and take it to a drop box, and not even a polling place, an actual external drop box, like a mailbox. All that stuff. And all that stuff benefits Democrats, at least historically. Now, that doesn't mean, once again, that doesn't mean it's not, there's unfair access. I mean, if we're going to go, so this is what I'm propagating here. That stuff is not necessarily in and of itself unfair. But the thing is, it does benefit the way Democrats think and vote. So, ergo, if the Republicans are going to be on a level playing field, they have to at least up their game and make certain that they can compete on all those different areas. That we get more people out for early voting, we get more people, we get more ballot harvest, we do more ballot harvesting, that sort of thing, right? And I mean, I hate to say this, but my personal opinion is that Rhonda McDaniel, who's the head of the Republican National Committee, I think she's incompetent. I don't think she can do this shit, and I don't think they're doing it. And as far as I can tell, the only reason she won re-election for that position is because she's Mitt Romney's niece. That's the only reason. And there's a whole bunch of rhinos the rhinos have hopped on the Democratic gravy train, and they just want the money to keep flowing. You know, they don't give a fuck about the public. So, you tell me if I'm wrong about this. I would say that would cover about half of the people in Republicans in Congress. About half of them are basically rhinos. They do not give a shit about the public. They are just there for their own self-interest and financial self-gratification. So if we're going to go under that, if you're going to go under that opinion, if I'm right, that we there's a very good possibility we'll lose again. You know, even though Trump and all the poll came out disastrous for Biden, that doesn't necessarily mean he can't win. Well, also, then the other thing is, too, whether he's actually going to run. Now, this last weekend, David Axelrod, there's a whole bunch of articles that very suddenly came out that said, you know, maybe Joe should step down. No shit. You know, nobody's pleased with this guy's performance. I mean, he is going to go down easily as the most incompetent president since the Civil War. No doubt about it. I mean, he has saved Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is 100, and Jimmy Carter can now die knowing he was not the most incompetent president. Well, this is not the 20th century, but at least in the last 100 years, at least. You know, I mean, this guy's worse. So, and everybody knows it, and everybody's suffering because of it, especially economically. What were they thinking? I got news that came out. This is just today, and you probably didn't hear this, and that is, The interest payments on the national debt of the United States of America this year, at the end of this year, are going to top $1 trillion. We have $32 trillion in debt, and the interest payments are now over $1 trillion. That's not all. Let me read you a couple of statistics here. This amounts to a doubling of interest costs over the last 19 months. You got that? In the last 19 months, this interest on the debt doubled from $500 billion to $1 trillion. Got that? Okay. All right. It is the equivalent of 15.9% of the federal budget for fiscal year 2022, which was, of course, last year, but that's the last year we have available. So 16% of the whole budget of the United States is now going to servicing the debt. There's more. There's more. This is pretty amazing. Deficits are now expected to be at least... Now, deficit, here's the... This is the part that you get confused, because I used to get confused. The deficit is the annual shortfall of how much money we have coming in versus going out. In other words, the negative number that we can't... if I'm right, the GDP of the United States is about $16 trillion a year, right? So the deficit is the amount of money we spend per year more than that. So, and that all gets added to the accumulative national debt, right? That's the way it works. The $32 trillion is all the debt that we've ever accrued that has never been paid off, which is almost all of it. So the deficits are expected to be at least 5.5% of GDP every year for the coming decade. That's the next 10 years. Here's another statistic. Since 1973, the federal government budget deficit has averaged 3.6% of GDP per year. In other words, the average shortfall per year has been 3.6%. We're expecting from now for the next 10 years is going to be at least, and that needs to, we need to emphasize that, at least 5.5% of, we, in other words, every year we are spending 5.5% more money than the government takes in. And so you wonder, you know, and this is exactly the scenario that Murray Sabourin was talking about on Monday, about the fact at some point, so now when interest rates pop up as the Federal Reserve has been doing, they pop up for the government too. So right now, we are paying, and this is the reason it's doubled in the last 19 months. The prime interest rate in the United States, I think, is about 5%. It was 1 or 2% during Trump, and they're trying to get it down to 2%. And that's 2% is considered a healthy amount of inflation. You're never going to completely get rid of inflation. As a matter of fact, it's actually, if it gets below 2%, that's actually considered kind of bad. So if it's 2%, that reflects a fairly healthy amount of given flow in the money supply in the U.S. So what we were talking about with Murray Sabourin on Monday is that if the interest rate suddenly jumped to like 8% from 5%, you know, very suddenly, so then this has already gone up. It's doubled in 19 months. Let's say it doubles in 6 months. Let's say that. And now we've got a really fucking big problem. Now, instead of 15.9% of the U.S. budget going toward the servicing the debt, let's say it goes up to 23%, right? Well, that's a shitload of money. That's a shitload of money that's coming from your pocket that doesn't get used for anything else. Matter of fact, it doesn't get used for any useful purpose except paying off banks and countries that loan us money, right? This is scary. This is a scenario that's thought this could completely bring down the American economic system, this fact. And this is the reason the debt is so goddamn scary. This is the reason. Because at one point, I mean, there's a woman, and I think her name is Lionel Bart, if I'm right. And I've had her on my guest list for ages. I'd like to get her on. She wrote a novel about 10 years ago. Can't remember the name of it. Starts with an M. That's all I remember. But in the novel, the entire American society goes to hell because the president gets up on national TV and says, we're going to default on the national debt. We're not going to pay it. Or the interest either. He just says, we're done. We're not paying it anymore. And basically, society falls apart. It's a domino effect. And her book is about one single family that's actually quite affluent and well-to-do that ends up completely broke. You know, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, and I'm changing gears here. I'm changing subject. It kind of pisses me off. All these people talking about, oh, democratic socialism. Well, let's look at socialism. And the best example, socialism has never worked anywhere it's been tried. Communism has never worked anywhere it's been tried. But the most recent and most stark example is Venezuela, which 30 years ago was the richest country in South America. And now people are killing their pets for food. I'm not exaggerating here. No, their economy is completely collapsed. There's no, there's no incentive to do any work. If you're working for the state, and for the common good. I mean, the Pilgrims discovered this. You know, there was what do they call it? There was I can't remember. They had a term for it. When the Pilgrims first came to Massachusetts on the Mayflower, what year was that? 1640. The first year they set up a commune, and the idea was everyone got a plot of land, and the plots of land, if I'm right, were pretty much equal size. And the deal is, you were supposed to contribute everything you grew on your farm was contributed to the whole community, and then you took what you needed, right? Well, they found out after only 1 year that pretty much everybody figured out that they lowered their contribution and upped their takeout. It didn't work. So no one was contributing anything, and everybody was taking everything, and they were starving. So they changed it. They changed it to what we would consider a capitalist system, and that is you grow your own food, and then you keep that, and you barter with other people. And that worked. Duh. I mean, do you need any more? Do I need to explain this to you? Well, in Venezuela, they stopped doing that, and now people are eating their cats. That's what happens. Your cat is now food. It's like, Jesus Christ. So anyway, in this book, that's what she's talking about. So the default on the national debt leads to the collapse of American society. And that's pretty much what, as far as I can tell, she's right on. That's what would happen, you know? Oh, man. Anyway, you know, Murray's talked about this. People are really sounding the alarm. And, you know, and this is not a Democratic problem. This is a frickin' bipartisan, bullshit, Republican-Democratic party. Republican administrations have done just as bad at this as Democrats, except for the current administration, which has added way more to the debt than any previous one, including even Barack Obama and Donald Trump. The complaint a lot of people have about Donald Trump's tenure is that he did not stop the flow of the deficit. I mean, it didn't go up appreciably. Matter of fact, I don't know if it went up at all, but he didn't dampen it. I always assumed that he was leaving that for the second term, that his first job was to get the economy in order, and he did. So I don't know if that's he's never actually addressed that as far as I know. So I don't know if that assumption is true or not. But Biden has completely gone off the rails here. The fact that he gets up in speeches and said, I have brought the deficit down, is a complete, utter, bald-faced lie. It's a lie. He is lying through his teeth. Nothing could be further from the truth. This administration has added way, way more to the national debt and even the annual deficits than any other administration previously. So you wonder why. I went shopping this afternoon again. I do the grocery shopping in my family. I'm just shocked and appalled by how much prices have gone up in the last, since the beginning of the year, but even especially in the last 6 months. I mean, I constantly see, I mean, I've been doing the shopping for 20 years. My wife does not like to go grocery shopping. I actually enjoy it. Gets me out. I move around. I like to see commerce. I like to see what people are, they like to see new products. I love that shit. So I go do it. It's not, for me, it's not a chore. I'm just constantly, well, just give me an example. I buy generic Target brand garbage cans, right? Garbage bags, excuse me, garbage bags. I use the large leaf size bags in our kitchen because, God, I don't know what's wrong with us. We generate a ridiculous amount of trash. But I do that, so I buy them. And so they were for like a million years, $5.99 for a box of 30, right? Now $9.99. All of a sudden, it went up from $6 to $10. It's just like this, blink of an eye. It just went up. It's what is that? That's more than 60%. It's like, Jesus Christ. And this is I don't have to tell you, if you do shopping, you know this. It's everything. Everything has gone up monumentally in the last year, you know? So, and how do you expect to print so much goddamn money and give it away for COVID and not expect anything bad to happen. I mean, anybody who had any education in economics at all, like Econ 101 in college, could have told Joe Biden and his administration this was going to happen. Excuse me. And people did. They were telling him and telling him, no, we got this under control. No. Boom. Bazinga. It's like, Jesus. And they're wondering, like, what's wrong, you know? And now, you know, so finally now Democrats are starting to speak up about the fact, you know, maybe you shouldn't call it Bidenomics. Maybe it's not a positive term. I mean, I wonder about Joe Biden. You know, it's like, I've said this before. I don't think he's actually senile. I don't think he is. I think that he has some definite physical problems for sure. But I think his mind works more or less correctly. I think he's a delusional human being. He always has been. I mean, his entire career as a writer has been rife with plagiarism. I mean, speeches, articles, he's been caught constantly stealing shit. He doesn't seem to care. He doesn't care. You know, just keeps on doing it. All these stories he tells that are either patently false or ridiculous, you know, it's like most of them didn't happen. And it's been proven. He doesn't care. I think it's not just that the guy's a moron. He's delusional. He's actually delusional, you know? So what we got now, he's losing support, even from his supporters across the board. This is unbelievable. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. I don't know at this point how they can dump him. I mean, he obviously does not want to be dumped. And he is the president, so if he doesn't want to get off the stage, it's not going to happen, you know. But then again, like I said, and the reason I'm bringing this all up is because that doesn't mean Trump, or assuming Trump's the nominee, that doesn't mean Trump will win. It doesn't. There's all sorts of factors here, and the thing is, I think the Republican National Committee has to get its fucking shit together and actually do something for a change. First of all, this is my opinion. I'm still contending this. That the Democrats did cheat the 2020 election. But whether it was, you know, 2,000 mules from Dinesh D'Souza ballot stuffing or whatever, or printing ballots or whatever it was, any or all that stuff. But the Republican National Committee should have anticipated that. The hatred for Donald Trump was so huge. I mean, seriously, in some ways, you can't blame. You know, all right, you know, that's wrong. You know, cheating the election, if it happened, is wrong. But the fact that no one, you know, caught them ahead of time or in the act, that's just as bad. It is, you know? So, I mean, we saw what they're doing. They not only booted, at Detroit, they not only booted the Republican observers out of the vote counting places, they even put paper on the window so people couldn't see in. I mean, it was ridiculous. And nobody did anything, you know? Well, get off your fucking ass and take care of it. You know, so now, like I said, in and of itself, all these new measures aren't unfair in and of themselves. But the Democrats have an advantage because they've done it longer and more, and they know how to do it. So what are we going to do? What is Ronna McDaniel going to do in her fucking infinite wisdom? I think she's an idiot. I'm just going to say that right now. I do. And with that, I've talked, 30 minutes? So let's bring on Jazz Shaw, shall we? Hold on just a second. I can do this. Here we go. Here's some bumper music for your entertainment. Joining us from his home outside Washington, D.C., hotair.com weekend editor Jazz Shaw. Hi, Jazz.
Hey. Slight correction. I don't live down there anymore. Haven't for a while. I'm in upstate New York. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. Okay, upstate.
Trust me, I'm a lot happier here, even though New York's not great, than being down in D.C. these days.
Do you mind if I ask, what are you close to? What city?
I'm up near the Pennsylvania border. I'm a ways south of Syracuse
That sounds good.
West of the capital, Albany.
That sounds good. Well, my mother says hi, my 99-year-old mother, so just want to let you know.
Oh, is she up here?
No, she's doing well. I don't know, man. I don't know. Hey, I appreciate you joining us today. I've been going through a few of your articles. Once again, you've been writing some enormously fantastic shit. So let's start with the Trump trial, which you were writing about this morning. First of all, isn't this the biggest fucking bunch of legal bullshit you've ever heard in your entire life? I just don't believe it. They have a fraud case and no one's been defrauded.
That's the bottom line. I mean, that I've been stuck on that for a while now, and I have never heard either the judge who was challenged on this or the district attorney, our district attorney, or attorney general, sorry, Letitia James, give an adequate explanation to that. You drag someone into court on fraud charges, it's presumed there must be a victim somewhere. Someone must have been defrauded.
Yeah.
No one's ever complained. The banks were fine with it. The banks signed off on all the agreements. They were even given the opportunity to modify some of the values that were submitted that they're claiming that Trump lied about. They're real estate values.
They're also, flexible. Forgive me, but if I'm right, they even did modify some of the values, right?
They did. Yeah, they modified some of them. They challenged a few, and Trump's people, and it wasn't even Trump sitting. He doesn't have time for that crap, man. He wasn't even in the room. He has people who take care of that, you know? And so they got filed, and the banks approved the loans. The loans got paid off. The banks made money. Trump made money. Everybody went home happy. Nobody filed a complaint. Where's the fraud? You know, none of it makes any sense. But this judge sounds like he's going to go ahead and just ram this through.
What do you think is going to happen on appeal? Do you think they're just going to throw it out?
Maybe it's going to go to the Fifth Circuit. It would go to the Second Circuit first. I have to double check that. Depends which one and who they pick. And usually it won't go to a full panel. It'll go to like a three-person subpanel.
Uh-huh.
It depends who they draw. I think if it gets up to a full circuit appeal and certainly to the Supreme Court, I think this all goes away because they're going to be asking the same questions. It's like you're charging somebody and threatening tremendous financial harm to them using the hammer of the government strength, and you can't show us a crime. I don't understand it. And there's also been repeated questions that Letitia James, at a minimum, if not being disbarred, she should have recused herself from the entire case because she's on record and has been shown dozens and dozens of times running for election saying, I'm running for election so I can get Trump.
Yeah.
You know, and then this is what she came up with, apparently.
Well, from what I understand, this is, again, highly technical, but from what I understand, New York's the only state in the union where supposedly filling out the bank statement form incorrectly is actually a crime. In all other states, you're right. It's like, it's not a crime until someone's defrauded. I guess that's the logic she's using, or they're using. I don't understand, but still. No,
it's one clause that claims there can be cases where there is a, quote, victimless crime in New York.
Yeah.
And the concept of victimless crime is not very well regarded in legal circles anywhere.
No.
But it exists in New York, so in theory. But once again, they would have to show intent. You know, did they intentionally make the values wrong? Well, if they did, then the banks are every bit as guilty as Trump.
Yeah.
You know, because they all agreed to it.
Right.
And he's the only one getting dragged in? No, I don't see this holding up.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Let's go on to the Hamas thing, the Israeli war. So you wrote an article today about the fact that supposedly the Biden administration is basically insisting that in exchange for sending the Israelis guns, that they have civilian gun control, for more or less, right?
Well, basically, they're not demanding a specific law. They already have gun control laws, but they announced they would be loosening them in response to the terror attacks.
No shit.
you think?
Yeah, really. You
know, but they, you know, Joe Biden was the one who came out first, and I praised him for this and said, send us a list. What do you need? You know, we're here. We got your back. And they wanted, you know, some thousands of M16 rifles and some other stuff, all, you know, pretty much borderline military civilian weapons. And then Biden started getting pressured, saying, no, we shouldn't send that over there unless we get an assurance that none of them will go to any of the Israeli settlers in the West Bank. And it's like, well, yeah, that's still part of Israel, though. Let's
Yeah.
not forget, you know. And their laws apply. They make their own laws. And apparently Biden went and said, yeah, we're going to ship these to you, but you have to assure us that's not going to happen. And it was never actually confirmed that Bibi actually said it wasn't, but the shipment moved forward. So there must have been some kind of an understanding that might have been one of those gray areas. But really, that's none of our business. How they handle their gun control for their own people while they're being attacked, I don't think we've got a dog in that fight.
I'm starting to think that maybe this whole thing with Biden and trying to appease the Islamic community is basically like a textbook study on how trying to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody. You know, I mean, Biden's been running around for 3 years right now trying to make a whole bunch of constituents happy, and basically he hasn't made anybody happy. And I just wonder, man, just like you said, okay, so he did a couple really admirable things here. Stick to your guns. I mean, just, ride the thing out. Yeah, people are going to be pissed off. Big deal. Is it me? It's like I'm starting to wonder, don't worry so much about re-election. Just do your fucking job. Okay, maybe you're not re-elected. So fucking what? The world won't end. And I know, it's like, for these guys, I understand that that's like it's the pinnacle of their lives. I understand that. But still, it's like this has been shown time and time again. You try to make everybody happy, you don't make anybody happy.
Sometimes you get into a moment of crisis and leadership, and you have to do what has to be done. I am still, I'm not just going to say I'm not convinced. I am highly dubious that these are actually Joe Biden's decisions. I mean, he has a team of people that are making the calls, that are writing all the cards for him and telling him what to say and standing behind him while he's on the phone and doing all this stuff. And we got the names of a couple of the people who were feeding them this gun stuff for Israel. I don't know that he came up with that. I kind of doubt he did. But once he was told to say it, he went ahead and said it. How it worked out in the end, we may not know until all the books are written after the administration's over. But no, yeah, he has been in some ways trying to please a lot of people. But this is one of the few issues that cuts a firm slice right through his base. He's not going to make his base happy. And he
Right.
doesn't care if he makes conservatives and people who are probably not going to vote for him happy. There are people on the left, including a lot of Jews, who definitely want Israel to be supported. There are pro-Hamas people, and now they're out there with swastikas and stuff, and they're literally just anti-Jewish, pro, wipe out the Jews people. And they're in his party too. And you can't make both of them happy simultaneously. Can't be done.
Did you
So
ever?
I agree with you. I think if he was still in full control of the ship, or the people minding his schedule and giving him his talking points were really sharp, they would just acknowledge that and say, okay, we're going to have to take one in the loss column here. And the clear choice, look at, the overall approval of the country for pro-Hamas versus pro-Israel, you got to go with the pro-Israel.
Yeah.
But man, he does not want to lose Michigan. And we keep getting reminded he won Michigan so narrowly last time. And the number of Arabs amongst the Democrats and Tlaib's people, that was actually bigger than his margin of error. And if he lost a significant number to them, he'd probably be toast in Michigan. And I think that's a big concern. And that's where anything they can find where they can kind of stick it to Israel and say, hey, you need to slow down. We need humanitarian pauses and don't give out guns on the West Bank. And I think these are all little half measures that are not going to make any of those people happy. And like you
Right.
said, that's a no-win.
Right. And you did bring something up here. I think it's really important to remind the public of this. For all the bitching that Tlaib and her associates have done about this, about putting out these like TikTok videos saying, you know, we're not going to forget this next year and all this sort of stuff. They are a minority, a distinct minority of the public. All the polling has showed that the vast majority of Americans are on Israel's side on this case, you know, which, and I said on my show that that's a, one of the reasons they're protesting so hard, so publicly, is to make it appear that there's their numbers are actually bigger than they are. Do you think that's, do you agree with me on that? Or?
Oh, I think that's accurate. And there's a very good reason why they're doing it and why they're seeing some success in getting some movement out of the Biden administration is because they have learned lessons from the past that you don't have to be a majority. You don't even have to be a significant minority, a tiny portion of people. If they are loud enough and if they can draw the attention of the media and amplify their message to make it look like they're more numerous or more influential, then they can get rewarded for that. We've seen that with the transgender debate. The vast majority of the country does not believe that anyone born with a penis is a woman. Nobody buys this.
No.
But yet a tiny number of people are out there, and the media amps them up, and they get rewarded for that. And they get rewarded legislatively in many places for things like that. Why wouldn't they think they could get away with this? Yeah, it's less than 20% that actually support Hamas, probably significantly less than 20%. But, and 20% doesn't get you anything in the ballot box, but it does get you something in the media. And that's power, and they have learned how to wield that power, how to leverage it, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
You wrote this story, I didn't even have this on my outline here, but you wrote this story about a few days ago, a week ago, about this, it was this Maryland, where there was this field hockey guy who you know, knocked this woman's teeth out during a women's field hockey game. But the thing that amazed me about that story, Jazz, and I did not know this, is you said that was not actually a transgender issue. Is it in Maryland? Do I got that right? Was it Maryland?
In Maryland, yes.
All right. You said that in Maryland, it's just a boys can join women's teams, period. It has nothing to do with gender identity. Is that right?
Right. That's they have taken in Maryland Title IX to an extreme we haven't seen in Washington, to an extreme we haven't seen really anywhere else for the most part. And they're interpreting, because the Biden administration reinterpreted Title IX in 2021 and added in all the transgender stuff, but the language was more sweeping than that. It was like, you can't bar people from scholastic sports that receive any sort of funding based on gender. Whether it's actual gender, whether it's gender identity, anything like that. And they turned around and said, well, then I guess everybody can play on every team. And they started letting boys sign up for girls' teams in sports, including field hockey. And this one boy came in there and literally, like you said, just hit a shot that the girls were never used to seeing and just smashed this one girl in the face. Took out two of her teeth, damaged her jaw. She was hospitalized. And the school administration came out and said, well, he's totally within his rights to play, but we think you should look at this more closely because this could be dangerous. I was like, could be dangerous? Go talk to the girl's parents. I was like, wake up.
Yeah.
It's the girls' team. That's why Title IX was originally established.
Right.
So that girls and women could have their own space to compete and succeed.
So, I mean, I hate to be master of the obvious, but if you're going to fuck the language up, aren't you just fucking the whole title up? I mean, it's like...
You might as well eliminate it. Just
cancel. Yes, what's the point? You right. Know, and no then I think you brought up this too. I mean, if it wasn't you, it was somebody else. What's with that kid? It's like, why the hell?
Right.
What is your problem? Why do
why
you want to be on the girls' team?
With the boys.
Yeah.
You know, did you suck that bad? But now it's like, well, I can beat the girls at least. So
yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. That feels good.
Hey. You know, and
God.
I don't know. It's just a different generation. None of this happened when I was growing up. No.
No.
We didn't even discuss these things. That's idiotic.
Yeah.
We had boys' sports and girls' sports. And well, we needed more
like,
girls' sports. But
it does seem like a bizarre world, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus, the whole world's like turned upside down. I mean, what do you make of all the... I mean, I just find this appalling. All these kids on campus who are not, they're not even not pro-Palestine. They're anti-Semitic, like you said. It's like,
yeah.
And somebody pointed this out. It might have been David Strom, your associate, Hot Air, about the fact that years ago, I mean, you go back to like the 70s and the Vietnam War, about, you know, kids were protesting, but now the difference is kids are protesting and have people killed. I mean, that's, you know, they're actually talking, they're pro-terrorism. That's the thing that's actually fucking amazing here.
Yeah, there's no parallel, and I grew up, I went to school in the 60s and 70s, and I was in the military in the 70s and 80s, and all through the different revolutions, you know, and I have older siblings, and my dad, you watch the generational changes, and there have been protests about all sorts of stuff, but it was always like, well, we don't like this thing the government's doing, and we'd like you to do this differently, and blah, blah. Now, it's like we're back to the 1930s and early 40s. There's literally people out on Wall Street with swastikas chanting, yeah, gas the Jews.
Right.
I'm not a young man. I've never seen this in my lifetime.
I haven't either.
Even when we're opposed to the Vietnam War and people are out there marching in the streets against Nixon and saying, get us out of Vietnam, which actually turned out to be a very good idea. Nobody was out there saying gas Nixon or gas fellow Americans, or they were just like, this is a bad policy. We need to change this.
Right.
Now, this is a whole new ball game, my friend.
Right. It is.
It's something that's not been seen in a long time, and it's very, very dark.
So when my wife constantly tells me I'm just an old curmudgeon and that every generation has poo-pooed the generation coming up. But I've said for a long time, this is fundamentally different. The other thing that's different too, completely besides the protesting, is the fact that test scores have been going down constantly in America for 30 years. I mean, there's no doubt that these people are, frankly, are not very bright. I hate to put it bluntly, but, you know, I mean.
Oh, feel free. Yeah. No, that's true. They're accepting people into schools that did not do well because we've been lowering the standards. That's been happening for a while. It really accelerated during COVID, but it's not slowing down after COVID's over. I've written articles about that. There are several school systems. One of them's out in Seattle. There's a couple more on the East Coast where they're still suspending all requirements for students to have a passing standardized test grade in math, in reading. Some of them don't even have science and history.
Well, am I actually right about this? Did Oregon just actually eliminate failing grades altogether?
Oh, yeah. Nobody fails.
Nobody fails. Right.
You don't even have to show up. You can be truant. You can be booted out and suspended, which they rarely do, for disciplinary problems. You still pass. So you're still going to get a degree. And if you get a degree that has no grades associated with it, no standardized testing, how do the colleges know which are the best applicants, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's quite a few. We like to say there's always a few bad apples. Might be a lot of those apples slipping up near the top of the barrel these days.
That's scary, though, because, I mean, especially like what I call, what you call mission-critical applications like medicine and science. All of a sudden, you know, people don't know what the fuck they're doing, you know? And that brings it back to the Stone Age. I mean, shit.
Well, we could wind up at the Stone Age, and that's one of my big fears about artificial intelligence, but it's probably a discussion for another time.
No, actually, maybe not. Tell it, what is your fear? Like, because I have to admit, Jazz, I don't really know, relatively speaking, a lot about this, and I'm a computer programmer, but I just decided at 68, I'm not going to this level. It's going to take me too long to learn this shit, so I'm not going to do it. So, like, what are your specific concerns?
My specific concerns are that artificial intelligence, no question whatsoever. I use it every week. I follow the news. I write about it. I experiment with it. It can certainly do some. It can do a lot of things faster, amazingly faster than human beings. Once you have the machinery in place for it to run machinery, it can do things in the physical world. But the more and more you lean on that, you get to the point where there is no more innovation, because artificial intelligence still, to our knowledge, has never had an original thought. It
Yeah.
will never come up with something new. It can only use what's already been said and done by people and replicate it sometimes in new, interesting, creative ways.
Right.
But advancement basically ends when that happens. And if you let that take over all the factory jobs and all the farming jobs and all the other stuff, and increasingly writing and publishing and things up the chain, and it's like, isn't this great? It's taken care of all that. You can all go home. Well, what's everybody going to go home and do? They're going to do probably what a lot of these kids were talking about. They're going to be playing Mario Brothers or something.
Yeah.
They're not going to learn anything. And then when inevitably both the machines and the AI systems break down, which they will sooner or later, we're going to have a whole generation of people who didn't learn anything and are coming out like the kids in Seattle and everything else. And everybody's going to be sitting there with their thumb up their ass and being like, oh man, the bread didn't show up today. You know, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not even making a joke. I mean, that,
yeah, I know. I
that's
know you're
literally not. Where the end of that road is.
Right.
And that scares the crap out of me, man.
Well, but let me ask you, at the present time anyway, do you think artificial intelligence could specifically replace what you do? I mean, you're not really a reporter so much as you are a commentator, you know? And commentating takes judgment and experience. Could some AI, can ChatGPT fake what you do?
It's been attempted by two outlets that we have found so far. The results were not good. But it does stitch together opinions that other people have published on a given topic. It does stitch together news items about facts that if you've, it always has to be updated so they're not up to date. But if I wanted to go back and write about the 2022 midterms or something, you could assign that to ChatGPT and say, write me an article giving an opinion on the outcome of the 2022 midterms in these particular districts and how that impacted the process of government going forward. And it would produce something. And they did. There's a couple outlets that tried to do that. And some of it was almost passable as an opinion piece. But if you really poke down, it stitches things together and it gets things wrong. And it will give, I saw at least on two occasions, opinions that one paragraph, it's making a point in favor of something. And then it turns around the next paragraph and makes the exact opposite point.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Can it discern between different?
No, it can't.
It can't.
It doesn't know.
Yeah.
It only knows how to do the math underlying it. Go find words that match these other words that show up the most often and put them together in something that sounds like an intelligible sentence.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, so if you don't answer this question, it's fine. But I know you spend a lot of time with ChatGPT. As an editor at Hot Air, have you experimented with actually trying to do this, trying to generate articles?
Oh, I have a couple of times, but I've always labeled it right at the top. I asked ChatGPT to write something about,
yeah,
and here's what it came up with. Uh-huh. And then I would add my own non-AI analysis of how well it did. One of the most fun ones, I did like a 3-article series because there was an article out of India about a guy who said that he won the lottery using ChatGPT. And so my wife and I sat down and said, all right, let's ask ChatGPT to generate some lottery numbers for us. And I blew it up. I got it to the point where I actually broke ChatGPT down and it just stopped answering because it kept giving these bad answers that didn't match the questions. And it finally gave up, and then I came back later, and I was like, what happened here? And then it came up with an explanation, but it wasn't a very good explanation. So, no, it's far from perfect. It's not ready to take over a job like yours or mine. It certainly is very close to being able to most of the time take over a job like what's the most efficient way to unload boxes from a truck and scan barcodes and move them quickly in the fastest way possible to the next truck, get them off on their destination, and you could probably eliminate most people from that job using AI. You could do that today. There'd be some errors, but not too many because it's good at scanning barcodes. You
Yeah,
know, so long
right.
as you teach it the barcodes and what to say that barcode means, it can do things like that. Anything that requires any sort of human cognition, any sort of opinion, any sort of evaluation, and it can't find something in its library, like I don't see where anybody's ever really discussed that in that way. It won't say, it doesn't have the ability to say, I don't know. It will find whatever it thinks is
Oh,
closest,
is that
and
really
it will
true?
give you that.
It does not have the ability to say, I don't know, huh?
It does not have the ability to say,
That's
I don't
really
know.
interesting because that reminds me of a lot of liberal points of view.
I should correct that. I'm in the paid beta version. The very latest version now does have that ability, but they only just added it. Up until now, all the stuff they've been using, they never incorporated the ability to answer a question by saying, I don't know. It would just come up with the best match, and that's what it would give you, and it would say it authoritatively.
Okay, and I hate to dwell on this, but I'm really curious too. You dealt a lot with this. You were talking about how fast this thing is. Is that partly or primarily due to the fact I know they're throwing a ridiculous amount of computing power at these things? I mean that the paid chat GPT you uses apparently is just an enormous server farm, from what I understand. Do
Yes.
you think? Do you think is that partly or most of the reason it's fast, or is it also simply just how it's coded too? You know?
Oh yeah, but it's a combination of the two. In order to handle a library the size of the libraries they use, it's a massive amount of data. In order to search that much data that quickly, it requires a gigantic amount of server power.
Yeah.
And I wrote one article. People are complaining that ChatGPT is using too much water in
Yeah, I've heard
California
that. Right. I don't know if it was
because
you or
they're
somewhere else, but yeah.
just enough water to cool the towers and the server farms, you
Yeah.
know, because it's that massive, and there are limits as to how big it can possibly get unless we get a new type of energy function. And a bunch of people have already said, ChatGPT, design us a new energy function that won't use this many resources, and it comes up with complete nonsense because we don't have anything like that
Right.
until somebody discovers zero point energy or something.
Right.
And if we discover that, I've said many times over the years, if we actually get functional zero point energy, I give the planet 6 months to a year tops, and
Because
humanity will be gone. Because once we harness that much energy, the wrong person's going to get a hold of it. If you have zero point energy, there is enough energy in one Starbucks coffee cup to evaporate half of the Pacific Ocean.
yeah, I
You
understand
know?
that. I know. You see, I'm
So.
naive. The first part I got, the scientific part I got, it never occurred to me that anybody would try to use it for nefarious purposes. I gotta admit, I'm just a stupid guy. So, you know. I never occurred to me, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that's true. The other thing is, and if you're going to go, this is not really 0 point energy, but maybe the real world equivalent, and that is if we ever get fusion down, which you're talking, you know, they keep moving the goalposts. They keep thinking we're about 50 years away from commercial
We're
fusion. You know,
always 50 years away.
that's right. We're always 50 years away, right? You know, and people don't realize how unbelievably ridiculously difficult this is. From a mechanical standpoint, fusion. I mean, you have to defy gravity. You got to float this stuff off the floor, and it's like it's fucking unbelievable. But if they actually do get it, I mean, shit. You know, if it actually if somebody does actually crack this, you know. But then again,
Yeah.
okay. Let me ask you about this too. I don't know if you've spent a lot of time reading, writing about the whole EV thing, you know, and stuff. I think you have,
Oh, yeah.
but it seems like finally. The progressive left and the green people are finally getting the idea that maybe we should embrace nuclear power after all. Have you noticed this?
Oh, yeah. It's slow, but it's happening because right now, if you go look out in California and up in the Northeast on the coast, there's a bunch of wind farms that they threw tons of our money at that are shutting down
Yeah.
because they're not working out.
Right.
You know, they're very hard to hook to the grid, and they're not, it's not conventional power. It's not how we're structured to operate, and they're not reliable because the sun doesn't shine at night and the wind doesn't always blow. You know,
Right.
Whereas if you have a huge massive amount of natural gas pumping through a line, that's going to burn and make energy 24/7, 365 days a year. That's not true about the other stuff. And so when they fail to perform, they're no longer profitable. So yeah, nuclear is pretty much in the same category with fossil fuels, so long as we have a reliable supply of uranium. That's a topic for another day. But there's enough, depending who's controlling the supplies, that we could keep that going for a long time. My brother was a nuclear engineer. I actually studied nuclear energy in the military, and I've got a pretty good grasp on the whole thing. And nuclear power, we've never had a nuclear disaster in the United States. 3 Mile Island was the worst that we had, and
It was nothing, basically.
there was never any radiation
Right,
released
right.
during 3 Mile Island that was more than you would get spending an hour at the Denver airport
Yeah, I
in the
had
sun.
Patrick Moore on the show for a wide-ranging discussion. He's the former Greenpeace founder and climatologist, and he said he feels very strongly about this. He said one of the reasons he quit Greenpeace is because they would not embrace nuclear power. And he said that Chernobyl is basically the only real nuclear accident we've ever had on the planet, you know.
The only disastrous one, yeah, and that's because of the design of that reactor.
Yeah, right.
That's a very dangerous design. They were using liquid sodium on one side of the cooling loops and water on the other side. And if you mix liquid sodium and water, it explodes. That wasn't a nuclear explosion at Chernobyl. That was a coolant explosion.
Yeah.
But it was a massive one, and it blew the reactor out and blew all the nuke stuff out too. So, and they didn't design their containment dumps well. We have way oversized, over maximized containment domes, just like 3 Mile Island, and that's why nothing got out.
Right.
The Japanese had some leakage at Fukushima, but even then, and they got hit with an almost finger of God natural disaster,
Yeah, that's right.
an earthquake combined with a tsunami
Right.
combined with a tornado, everything, or a hurricane all at one time. And it was really minimal.
Yeah.
And they've been slowly cleaning it up, moving it out. So yeah, it's a good system. But it's just gotten such a bad rap on the left going all the way back to the Jane Fonda days. And I think they're slowly coming around.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to move on here to you were reading you wrote an article. I mean, and I always like to end with this because you know all the UFO shit about the fact that what's going on at the Pentagon with Arro, about the fact that you wrote this article with the headline "The We May Never Figure Out the Tic Tac." So, and okay, first of all, and you address this in the article. It appears that Sean Kirkpatrick, the guy who heads Arro, and that stands for what does it stand for? Anomalous
Oh,
Aerial.
Arrow is All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Which is
It's
now
sad
the
I know that off the top of my head.
Yeah. That's where you get the big bucks, man.
Hey, I'm a
So,
UFO guy.
yeah, that's right. You're the UFO guy, right? So, they put this, I understand. I don't even think this was in your article. They put this new form up on the RO website, but now they're stressing to people that the public can't use it to
No.
report UFOs. Only the military can, or something like that. I don't know.
And they
Like,
can't even report UFOs. That's not what the new tool they put up is for. That tool is specifically for past and former, or current and former members of the government, of the military, of the industrial complex, who have knowledge of alleged crash retrieval programs, top secret programs that may not have had proper government oversight, may have illegitimately used funding to report that sort of stuff. Because the next Intelligence Authorization Act that comes out has a huge raft of language in it with new laws that, believe it or not, written by Chuck Schumer, that are going to demand that all of that stuff be brought to light, at least to the government, part of it potentially to the public. Because they believe that David Grush has revealed, and other people have revealed, that there's been a lot of secret stuff going on that shouldn't have been, and laws may have been broken. And so that's what that tool's for. They do still have a an outlet in development for sightings initially for military and commercial pilots, and they claim eventually for everybody. But that's not up and running yet.
Have you the thing with Grutch, so that stuff's been what he said during that committee meeting has been rumored in the UFO community for like 20 years. First of all,
50.
do you have any inside knowledge here? Do you has anyone ever told you
Nope.
whether it's true or not?
Nope.
And do you mind if I ask you? You don't have to go into detail here, but are you under any, especially former military? Do you know shit you can't talk about?
A couple things from interviews that I haven't been privileged to go out and quote people yet, but not anything big, not anything earth-shattering. No, they're I work with other people who claim that, they have contacts that have given a lot deeper stuff, and they're good people, Ross Coulthart in particular. But and until we actually have the cards on the table, we don't really know anything. Now, they were in that article you're referencing, talking specifically about the fact that Kirkpatrick is saying we're looking at the new cases now because there's a lot more data for the new cases. The old cases, you may have a video, a couple other things, testimony, going all the way back to Roswell. He was talking about the 2004 Tic Tac incident. We might never figure that out because we just don't have any more data. We know there was data about the Tic Tac back then, but it was confiscated and it's disappeared, and the Pentagon says that it's gone
Well,
and all the
that's
data
a
went.
weird thing. So you mean Kirkpatrick doesn't even have access to that?
He claims he doesn't.
I'll be
Not
damned.
everyone believes him,
Right.
but yeah, the newer stuff is going to have more data, but it's decades go by before you get one that's a real banger like that, And so we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't have any questions. Like I wrote in the article, I've seen three of them myself. My wife has two. I filmed two of them, but doesn't get me any closer. I don't know what they are. I don't
Do
know
you
where they
mind if I
come
ask,
from.
or did you see them over water or land?
I saw all three of the Tic Tacs right from my house. I was right over our neighborhood all three times, all three in one year.
And they were shaped like that, like the little kind of
They
like
were
capsule.
exactly shaped, and I got a capture with the help of a videographer. It was cell phone video of something out in the sky, and the camera's trying to focus on everything else. But he did get a couple of frames right before the second one vanished, and it's obvious. It looks like a propane cylinder. It's just long and white and round, and nothing sticks out from it. You can see that much. I saw it with my own eyes,
And
and
did
it
it
wasn't a
actually,
plane.
did it literally vanish, just
It
disappear?
literally vanished. It did not land. It did not crash. It did not fly away. It was there, hanging. It had come across and stopped, and just for a second, it rotated just a little bit, and then while I was pointing the camera at it, it disappeared. It didn't land. It didn't crash. It didn't fly away. It vanished. And it's there on the film in one thing. And my friend David caught it beautifully, as much as you could get from there. And the next frame, empty sky. It just
Was
disappeared.
this in outside of DC or your current house?
No, this is up where I am now in upstate New York. Yeah.
Are there any military bases close to you?
There's one that's mostly closed down a couple hours north up near Fort Drum. The next closest ones are down closer to like Indian Point and down towards New York City and stuff like that. We have a Lockheed Martin manufacturing facility, pretty close to us, but they almost entirely produce helicopters. We're not aware of them making Tic Tacs or anything. So I don't know, man. I don't have an explanation. But if we've got any technology that can do that, yeah, I'd like to know what it is. Because, I mean, that's Star Trek stuff to me, man. That's like Star Trek bullshit.
Well, Richard Dolan, the UFO researcher, he's pretty preeminent now. He has suggested that there's a small cadre of people, maybe not even in the military, kind of funded by them or something, like 200 to 2,000 people who have basically figured out how to reverse engineer this shit, and he thinks they're basically living 100 years in the future from the rest of us. You know that stuff's, in other words, his claim is that stuff is actually built by man, but from crash retrievals, and that they're not sharing the technology, and he thinks that's a crime. If that's the case, so do I.
Oh, that's one of the two prevailing theories that you hear from supposed whistleblowers, sources that people get. But again, it's all secondhand for now. Nobody's produced anything. The one prevailing theory is that, yeah, somebody somewhere, maybe in a basement below one of Lockheed's places, has figured some of that out, and some of the stuff we see might be really anomalous and from somewhere else, and some of it's stuff we've been trying to hack together and copying that. The other prevailing theory is that no, that's not true for any of it because we've never been able to figure it out.
Right, that's
And
right.
there
I've
are
heard
people
that
who've said
too.
that.
I've read that there are people, they have retrieved these crash retrievals, and in some cases, what I've read is that secondhand is that the government's tried for 20 or 30 years to reverse engineer this stuff, and they've never been able to do it. You know.
One of the guys who talked to Grush, who came out and talked again to Ross Coulthart, his name hasn't been revealed yet, but he's not a secondhand. He's one of the firsthand supposed witnesses who was working on one of these programs, said they had a craft, a device, whatever we're supposed to call it. They keep arguing about the parlance these days. And it had either a door or maybe damage or an opening or something where you could at least get a limb or something inside of the thing. And he said that it was the size roughly of like a minibus, not very big, not something you'd be too impressed by, like, well, I'm not getting an army with this. And he stuck his head in through the hole and he said it was the size of a football stadium.
Yeah, I've heard
It
that
was bigger on the inside
too.
than
Right.
the
Way
outside.
bigger, supposedly.
And the amount of time that he felt passed while he was doing that was way different than his colleagues who were standing around watching, who thought he was in, who said he was in there for like a minute and a half or a couple of minutes. And he was like, no, I was only in there for a second. So it's like both time and space are different on the inside. If you got that technology, man, you got the keys to Pandora's box.
Well, but then you stop and think about this, Jazz. I don't have to tell you. We haven't even had like cell phones, for 20. I mean, the iPhone's less than 20 years old. You know, I mean, give us 100 years, give us 200 years, 500 years. I
What'll
mean,
we have
shit.
then?
I know, that's right. I mean, it's like it's not that. At this point, I don't see any of this stuff being inconceivable, even though it's like. Arthur Clarke, was it Arthur Clarke or Isaac Asimov that said all technology that's not understood is magic, which is
Right.
true.
Yeah. And but that's always true in the moment. And I think, in my opinion, of course, I don't know, like we were just saying, there could have been a lot of stuff going on under the covers that nobody's ever been told about, maybe. But at the moment, that stuff is still magic to us. But yeah, well, somebody that got a, let's say, a 1,000-year head start on us, a 1,000,000-year head start on us, what would they be doing? Go back and remember, once again, and we probably discussed it before, late 1890s, when the first powered flight happened, the New York Times and the biggest paper in San Francisco at the time published an article saying that the Wright brothers never achieved powered flight.
Right, I
It was
know.
a hoax
Those are hoax.
because it wouldn't be possible for centuries.
That's right. That's
60
right.
years later, we were on the moon.
That's right.
So what are we going to be doing 1,000 years from now?
Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, people forget this. The Wright brothers actually had to go on a barnstorming tour just to show people that it actually
Yeah,
worked.
because nobody
And
was believing
that's right. Nobody
it.
believed it. And people would actually faint at these places where they actually see these machines fly. It's like people couldn't, even at that time, couldn't accept it. And then 15 years later, they were in World War One. I mean, shit, some unfucking unbelievable how fast some of this stuff works. All right, I just want to close this out with your opinion here. So Sean Kirkpatrick's basically, he's been in a rock and a hard place, right? I mean, there's nothing, it seems like, I mean, I know this. I've read about this extensively, about the fact that there's apparently been kind of a continuing struggle going on in the Pentagon of whether to use the A word as in aliens, and that that's really, it's gone back and forth for like 30, 40 years. And I don't know if Kirkpatrick can actually even do his job. You know, I don't know. What do
well,
you think?
He's on his way out, as far as I understand. We do have documentation. He's already filed paperwork starting a new company. There's suggestions, not just suggestions, just outright claims, that a lot of the whistleblowers have refused to talk to him. They don't trust Sean Kirkpatrick. They never have. And they think he's been dishonest about a bunch of stuff. So that's one side of it. But refresh, what was the first thing you asked? It's traveling.
Well, I did ask you, yeah, whether he was within a rock, whether he's screwed either way. I mean, that's the thing.
I think he's, I don't know if he's screwed. I think it's very possible. He might have given them a time span when he took the job. Like, okay, I'll do this for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, this isn't going to be the rest of my life. That's one possibility. So, I think he's probably moving on. As far as what we're going to learn, even if we get somebody else in there, I don't know, man. I don't have any confidence.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I've been doing this for, God, a decade, you know, just chasing these people and trying to find all these things and filing FOIA requests and doing all this stuff. And the government is just stonewalling everybody. They yeah. always do. I will give a parting tip to anyone. If you go, I think you find it in both places. If you go either to the blackvault.com with John Greenwald Jr., or he dropped a thing on Ryan Sprague's channel on Somewhere in the Skies. But it was just John who dropped it on the channel. He has a 70-year review of the cover-up, and that's just what he calls it, the cover-up. And if you're ever wondering, is this all conspiracy theories, or is the government really covering up stuff? John has all the receipts. He has showed every place, going back to the 60s, 1969, when Project Blue Book supposedly ended, and the government has said repeatedly, he's got all the receipts, we're not interested, we've already solved this, we don't look at this. That's not a thing. All yeah. the way up into the 2000s. They were lying the whole time, and he's got all the receipts. They were lying. They were always looking at it. They always had programs looking at it. They were publishing classified documents, some of which have come out, all through that period. It's all been lies. So why would they lie? What are they covering up? That's the big question. So, yeah, I think they probably know more than...
When Keene and Blumenthal came out with that article in the New York Times in December 2017, did you have any heads up? I mean, that seemed to be a game changer as far as the public was concerned.
I and a few other people had heard that they were working on it, but no details. I was never in the loop, never in deep with all that.
Uh-huh.
When the article came out, it was 2 weeks later when I published my very first publicly published article at Salem Media about UFOs. And after that, it was like, it was the highest traffic article on the site for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been writing about it ever since. And my, you know, the management, they weren't wild originally when I asked them, they were like, you know,
well, until they saw the traffic.
As soon as they saw the traffic, and they were like, okay, you're the UFO
guy. That's right. You're the UFO guy.
Yep.
Yep, there you go. All right, finally, is there anything that you got going on that you kind of want to break with us? Anything that's come up for you that you're working on the next couple of weeks?
Not really. I apologize, but right now there's a whole bunch of personal stuff going on in my family and my wife's family that's really been absorbing our time. There's been a few personnel personnel swaps going on inside of our company as we're getting closer to the end of the year. And we need to just get through today's end of this little mini election season into the holiday season. Things will slow down, and then Then we'll see. I have a couple projects in the background, more historical UFO stuff that I'll be publishing. Once again, going back to the Blue Book files and some other incidents that weren't covered very well in the past. But I'll let you know when we do that.
Jazz, you've never actually put out a book, right? Am I wrong about that?
No, I've never put out a book.
Have
I've
you ever
done
thought of
magazine
even just get?
articles, newspaper articles.
Yeah, even just gathering some of the articles together and put them together. You ever thought of even that? Do something quick and dirty.
Not really. I tend to just always be processing new stuff, man. I move from topic to topic and I'm jumping along and I mean UFOs is only one part of all the stuff that I study and that I write about, so no, that's not something I've ever really considered.
Well, I hope that whatever's going on, I don't expect you to divulge anything, but whatever's going on in your personal life, I hope it all works out okay. I
Thanks.
do.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. And I'll just end with this too, like you alluded to this, where we are exactly today, exactly a year from the next presidential election. So it's going to be really interesting what happens. So, oh, hey, let me ask you for a quick prediction. Do you think Biden will end up on the ticket or not?
I no longer have an answer.
Okay.
I've had both answers multiple times. I don't see him backing down. I do, well, again, like we discussed earlier, I don't see the people controlling him, his wife and his handlers, backing down. If his numbers don't start to see some sort of a significant recovery, I still think it's a definite possibility that when they go to the convention, the DNC may just put aside the primary, which they legally can do, and remove him and Harris and put somebody like Gavin Newsom in. I also, and I'm not wishing bad on anyone, I don't know that he can physically make it to the finish line.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I've had a bet going with a friend of mine that on January 19th, 2025, Biden will not be president, and the primary reason was his health. That's, you know. So, I don't know. I don't see him making it either, but
I don't
whatever.
think his handlers are that worried about his health. I don't think they're that caring of a group of people, but I do think they're worried about his poll numbers,
Yeah.
and they're not looking good right
No,
now.
if they cared about him personally, they wouldn't let him run. That's
Oh
what
no,
I think.
they would have walked him off the stage by
That's
now,
right.
long
Absolutely.
before this.
Right. And they had plenty of times to do it, chances to do it admirably, for lack of a better word, you know, so he wouldn't lose any face. But no, they're not interested. So,
Nope.
well, you take care, man. I really appreciate your time here. Thank
You
you.
too.
Thank you. We'll talk
Anytime.
to you soon. Take care. That's Jazz Shaw, the weekend editor from hotair.com. Between him and David Strom, man, holy shit, I have good friends. I gotta say, I just think he's really interesting, you know, and he's like the only person I know who does what I do, and that's basically conservative news analysts and analysis and UFOs. So I don't have anything for part three here because that went kind of long. But I'm gonna point something out here. That there's a guy named God. Now I'm gonna don't forget his name. Holy shit! You know, oh God, I don't believe it. It's just on the. I was just thinking about it just, and I talked to him just today. Okay, so all right. Well, screw it. You know, seriously, somebody just. Take me out behind the barn and put me down. It's like, oh my God, that's terrible. Whatever. All right, so here's the deal. Tomorrow night, okay, tomorrow night, we're going at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, because that's when the debate is supposed to end. Panel discussion, we're going to talk about the debate. La, 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 rat, laughs, laugh, laughs. Conaway, Zorro, Meyer, me. That's tomorrow night. Thursday night, no show. I'm going out of town. So next show will be next Monday. And what is that? The 12th? 13th. It's the 13th. So, any rate, well, thank you guys for joining us. I want what our following numbers at Rumble are going up about 50 a day, and I really got to thank you guys for that. I think we hit 850 today, I think, or something like that. It's 836 or something. But anyway, overnight we crossed 800, so that was pretty cool. So I want to thank you folks for watching. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie, and good night to you wherever you are. We'll see you tomorrow night an hour earlier. Okay? Take care.